Very nice. And perfect for my talk. Surprise! See how that works. Yes. So, here we are. Our theme this month is You Hold the Key. Pull the mic down. Got it. And my title today is The Keys to Compassion. So we're all about keys today, and we're all about compassion. Yeah. So what I would like, I mentioned earlier about our compassionate care ministry, and what I wanted to do is spend just a little bit of time exploring a bit more about what compassion is and what might be stopping us from expressing it and extending it just a little bit more in our lives. So you with me on that? Let's do that. So here's how Ernest Holmes defines compassion. Compassion is the most gentle of all human virtues, for it is the outpouring of the divine givingness through all. The divine givingness, right? The outpouring. And that's really, you know, what we know, what is the ground of our philosophy. It's all about spirit pouring out its good and more good into our lives in so many ways. In all of those ways, the qualities of God, right? The abundance, balance, beauty, freedom, joy, love, order, peace, power, unity, wholeness, and wisdom in alphabetical order. And they aren't that way up there, but... But it is. It's what we are. It's what we have. It is that. It's the essence of ourselves. That's what that is, right? And we utilize all of those qualities within ourselves in unique ways. Right? And that's what we're here to do, is to express them in our own personal way. Our own personal way. And one, the way to express it is through our compassionate connection with each other. You get that? That's what we're doing. That's what we're living. We're sharing our hearts and our hands and our spirits with each other. That's what we're here to do. And that's the spiritual truth. That's the reason that we're here. That's how it works. So that's it. That's the spiritual realm. But it's not just there, it's also in the physical, biological realm. Right? This truth is inherent in us, in our very bodies. You know, the fact is, our brains and our bodies are hardwired for compassion. Did you know that? Yeah, right? Okay, bear with me, I'm gonna get a little science-y on you. There is a thing called mirror neurons that are in our brain. They're actually in the prefrontal cortex structure of our brains. And they create what I like to call a compassionate circuit, a compassion circuit. Mirror neurons attune us to another person's emotional state. Right? That's what they do. They're reading it. They're kind of like a tuning fork. They match and vibrate with those around us at all times. So we don't just see someone's reactions to things, a smile and that. We actually feel with them. And then the circuit is sharing that feeling with them, being with them in that. So it's like a mirror. The neurons reflect what we see out there and then recreate it in ourselves. It's why we get the lump in our throat when we're watching a movie and the actor on screen is crying, right? It's why we yawn when we see someone else yawn. Those are mirror neurons at work. So our brains have naturally produced the same sensations in our bodies. This is the capacity that we have, this flow of sensing, outer to inner and outer again. So there's a natural compassion circuit going on all the time. All the time, whether we know it or not. So essentially, we already have the key. So we don't always use it. So why is that? You know, just because the neurons are there and flowing freely, we're not open to the circuit. We may sense it, but we don't give it back out. Right? We walk around with hardened hearts, numbed out. We default to judgment instead of compassion, right? We do that. We do that. And what that is, that's turning the off switch to that compassion circuit that we have. And the reason that we do it, the big why, it's really pretty simple. It's to avoid discomfort and pain, right? That's the bottom line. We don't want to feel uncomfortable. We don't want to feel discomfort. And we've developed all sorts of unconscious and habitual patterns to avoid discomfort and pain, right? And they stem from old wounds and ways that we've learned to protect ourselves and form defenses against pain. Defenses against our fear of vulnerability, right? Those are all the things we do. And that's what disconnects that compassion circuit. Ram Dass uses a great example. He talks about the habit we have of avoiding looking in the eyes of a homeless person. Right? And now I'm not going to go into what do you do, you know, do you give them money, do you give them food? This is all about that inner dialogue in yourself of what is it that makes you avert your eyes? And he says we look away because if we didn't, we'd have to be present with our discomfort. We would have to be present with that. We'd have to sit in that, right? Those feelings of vulnerability, the discrepancy of the needs, the feeling of, wow, I have so much and they have so little. I don't want to sit in that. I'm just going to look away. I'm just going to look away. I'm just going to turn away. You know, that's what we do. It's easier to just avoid the experience and kind of go unconscious, right? And just go into our trance of living a busy and unexamined life, really. But we have other options. There are other ways of doing this and of turning on that compassion circuit again. Unlocking, you know, our hearts a little bit more. And letting compassion flow. You know, the answer is simple, but it certainly isn't easy. It's being comfortable sitting in the discomfort. Right? It's allowing ourselves to be touched by another person's pain instead of running away. And it's waking up to our own motives. What is it that stops me? Why? What don't I want to look at here? Because the fact is, you know, we have to be tender before we can be tender-hearted. We have to be tender with ourselves before we can be tender-hearted to others. And that's what's being called for here. And of course, this is grounded in the spiritual truth of oneness. Right? Because the fact is, there really is no them and me. The truth, what's true for me is true for you. My pain is your pain, perhaps to a different degree, but we're all in this together. Ernest Holmes says, we are all parts of each other because the same God is in each one of us wearing a different face. Wearing a different face, right? That's it. And Mother Teresa talks about God in all its distressing disguises. I think sometimes that's it too. It reminds me of the story of the magical mustard seed. It's a Chinese tale about a woman whose only son died. And in her grief, she went to the holy man and said, what prayers, what magical incantations do you have to bring my son back to me? And instead of sending her away, he was very wise. And he didn't just dismiss her or try to reason with her. Instead, he said, "Fetch me a mustard seed from a home that has never known sorrow. We will use it to drive the sorrow out of your life." Okay, very, very wise. So the woman, great, I'll go off, I'll find that. So she came to this mansion and knocked on the door and said, "I'm looking for a home that has never known sorrow. Is this such a place? It's very important to me." And they told her, "Well, you've certainly come to the wrong place." And they began to describe all sorts of tragic things that had recently befallen on them. And the woman said to herself, "Well, who better to help these poor, unfortunate people than I, who have misfortune of my own?" And so she stayed to comfort them, and then went off in search of the magical mustard seed, looking for the place that had never known sorrow. And wherever she turned, any home, any hotel, she found one tale after another of sadness and misfortune. And the woman became so involved in helping others cope with their misfortune that eventually she let go of her own. She'd later come to understand that the quest to find the magical mustard seed did drive away her suffering, just as the holy man had promised. Yeah, it's a sweet story, and it's so true. It reminds us of that our suffering, our sadness, our misfortune open us up to see that we're not alone, that these are shared experiences that we have. And that's what compassion is all about. That's what compassion is all about. That's what the song is all about. We're all together in this. The Buddhist nun Pema Chodron says, "Compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It's a relationship between equals. Only when we know our own darkness well can we be present with the darkness of others. Compassion becomes real when we recognize our shared humanity." Our shared humanity. We're all in this together. We're all connected. All suffering is like my suffering. All joy is like my joy. And the key is we're here to be of service to each other through that. That's the work of our soul. That's what we're called to this life for, to serve in compassionate presence for each other. My latest guru is Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen. She's a physician in Northern California, and she's been leading the charge to bring spirituality back into medicine, where it once was. But she defines compassionate presence as being of service to the wholeness of others. Being of service to the wholeness of others. I love that. We know wholeness here, right? We're all about wholeness. It's one of the qualities. And it's important to realize that we serve with all of ourselves, the whole of ourselves, right? Our hearts, our souls, and from all of our life experiences, even the not so pretty ones. Right? Our limitations actually serve. Our wounds serve. Even our darkness can serve. So she points out the difference between helping, fixing, and serving. And she says there are three different ways of seeing life. I thought this was really interesting. She says when you help, you see life as weak. Right? So as when you want to help someone, really what you're saying is you're weaker than I am. You're needier than I am. Right? And that doesn't feel really good when somebody offers you that, right? When you fix, you see life as broken, right? So when you say, "Well, I'll fix that for you," what you're saying is you're needing repair. You're defective. Again, does not feel good feel good to that. When you serve, however, you see life as whole. We serve life not because it's weak or broken, but because it's holy, right? Life is sacred. Life is a holy mystery to which we belong. That's what the serving comes out of, that desire, that recognition of the sacredness and the holiness of life and our connection in it. She says, fixing and helping create a distance between people, but we cannot serve at a distance. We can only serve that to which we are profoundly connected, profoundly connected. And here is a great secret I've learned. You ready for it?
Yes.
Our presence is enough. In fact, repeat off after me. My presence is enough. Okay. I used to think, well, you know, I don't have the right words. I don't have enough learning. I have to read more books. I have to take more classes. And all of those things are good to do. But that's not what serves. Words have very little to do with it. It's about being in the heart space of compassionate presence with someone, right? That's what heals, that's what serves, and that's what assists the forward movement. It also opens those compassion circuits we talked about. That's what it is. It opens the other side of that circuit. Our compassionate presence is enough. Just being with someone. Soul to soul connection. It binds us together. The Upanishads put it this way. They say, the little space within the heart is as great as the vast universe. The little space within the heart is as great as the vast, vast universe. And what they're talking about, that's the heart of compassion. It's huge, it's bottomless, it's limitless. And we are the heart, and we are the hands, and we are the love. Life really is just a stream of opportunities to love and serve each other. That's it. That's what we're here for. That's our purpose. And it's enough. And it's huge. We're here to do the good of God. And God is the good we do. The love of God flows out of us and spreads out to touch others and then for us to be touched as well. That's it. That's the connection. That's the circuit. We're all healers for each other. And you know what? We're here to heal the world. To transform the world and heal it back to its wholeness. That's awesome. That's awesome. Feel that you can do that. So I'd like to end with just a little blessing to kind of ground these ideas in your heart. And so I just invite you to gaze at your hands in your lap. And just say after me, blessed be the works of these hands.
Blessed be the works of these hands.
Hands that have touched life.
Hands that have touched life.
Held pain.
Held pain.
And that hold the promise of the future.
And that hold the promise of the future.
And now just place your hands on your heart. Blessed be the works of my heart, which expresses the compassion and the love of the one heart. The love of the one heart. May I be blessed so I may continue to be a blessing to others. So just open your eyes. And so I just, as you move through your week, this week, I just invite you to remember that you are a blessing. And you have the key. In fact, all the keys and especially the key to compassion. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Reverend Jean.